Hello and welcome to Still Buffering, a cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
So it is the extension of the Max Fun Drive. We're in a special time period right now.
Yes.
That is why our episode is being released a day late. It is not because I have what I think is the flu. I don't know if it's the
definitely
flu.
Not COVID.
It's not COVID. I've taken several COVID tests. It's not COVID. It doesn't feel well. I haven't had COVID. It doesn't seem to fit. I think I have the flu. I haven't gone to get tested because I'm not that sick. But I was sick enough that I could not record.
It's pretty sick for Sid.
Yeah, yeah. I generally don't take days off, but I did. And it's great because that it was intentional and we wanted to release a special extended Max Fun Drive extended episode. Not like the episode will be the normal length.
Extended cut, but not because of the length, but just because of the time frame.
Yeah.
Right?
This is like the secret song on the end of an album.
Exactly. Except it's just two extra days.
You didn't listen to the end of the Max Fun Drive. You had to listen to the extension of the Max Fun Drive.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, it's still the Max Fun Drive. You are not too late. If you have not joined at MaximumFun.org/join, you still can. The Maximum Fun Drive is the one time a year, if you don't know, when we come to our listeners who support us, by the way. We're a listener-supported, listener-funded network. We come to you and say, hey, if you like what we do, if you enjoy our shows, if you enjoy this content, if you want to make sure we keep making it and can make more of it and improve upon it, we ask you to join Maximum Fun and give us a little bit of your hard-earned money because it's nice to support the things you love if you can. There are lots of levels at which you can join. You can join at a $5 level and you get all the bonus content. What are you asking is the bonus content? Every year during Max Fun Drive, all the shows add extra content to a secret feed that you can only get to if you're at that $5 a month level.
And you get all the feed from all the years.
Yes, everything. So, everything. Over 300 hours of, yes. Of BOCO. Just for you. There's a $10 level where you can get one of our show's patches. You get to pick which one you want. They're all amazing. The Still Buffering one is especially amazing, in my opinion.
We won the Max Fun Yearbook Award for most likely to appear on a kick butt denim jacket. So
there you go.
There you go.
It's perfect.
You know you want it.
It's perfect for jackets, for messenger bags, for backpacks, for bucket hats, whatever you want to put it on. And there are higher levels as well. And we'll tell you more about those gifts later in the show. But don't wait. Right now, MaximumFun.org/join, it is your chance to, give what you can, help us keep doing what we love to do and what we hope love to listen to.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, Taylor, what are we talking about this week?
We are talking about The Last Unicorn, a 1982 animated movie that I happen to like.
Tay, I didn't realize that this movie was made by Rankin and Bass.
By who?
The same team that did a lot of the animated Christmas holiday movies that we all love.
Oh.
I never made that connection. I didn't know that until Justin pointed it out to me when we were watching it. He said, "Did you realize this was one of theirs?" Because we, if there's some sort of classic holiday animated thing you love, it was probably Rankin and Bass.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. A very different style, but still, I just thought that was really interesting.
Because I do know it was based off of a book. It was based off of a novel that came out a few decades earlier. It came out in 1968 by Peter S. Beagle, but he also wrote the screenplay as well.
Now, did the book have that many songs? Did it sing as you read, or
no? It was not a musical.
Not a musical book.
No.
I was impressed by the sheer number of songs because most animated movies, even the Disney ones now that are mm-hmm. quote unquote musical movies that have all the songs, they don't even have that many. It's usually two or three big ones.
Well, and typically, if they do, it's a character singing,
right.
And they're not as there are throughout The Last Unicorn scenes of just sort of it's almost like a music video. It's like a song playing while these beautiful images of the unicorn or the forest or whatever the scene is.
Yeah.
an eagle soaring.
Yeah, it's that sort of has that same, like, they do that in Ferngully too, where it's like, here's sometimes the characters sing, sometimes it's just like a cool ambient song about rainforest in the background.
Yeah, it for some reason, and the music isn't this at all. I don't know why, but I had the thought several times watching it this time, like, this is kind of metal, and I don't know why. like you know the soft side of metal, which is about like like soft, you know what I mean? It reminded me of because I've watched this with the girls so many times, The Night Begins to Shine, Teen Titans Go collection of episodes.
They love those.
Where it's just like these, like they basically took like album art and turned it into multiple episodes of a cartoon. And there's something very awesome about it. And like sort of, I was going to say bad with a bad word there, but I can't say that word, but bad. But there's something sort of like, because like the eagle and then the unicorn and then the Red Bull and like it's all very like cool. I don't, and then the music is real soft and I don't know. It's very 80s either way.
Yeah, because well, yeah. There were all those other sort of, I mean, they were more for adults, like metal aesthetic animated movies that came out, I feel like, around the same time period. They're about like wizards and stuff and dragons that, you know.
Yeah.
Had the
it's
very sexy animation.
Yeah. They do, yeah, they do. I mean, that's definitely part of it.
And it's not an animated one, but it gave me Labyrinth vibes also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was like, this feels like they would be in the background of David Bowie doing some magic.
Now, who was this? And Tay, you might not know the answer to this, but I don't know. Was this supposed, like, who was this for? Was it supposed to be for kids, or was this an attempt to make something animated for an older audience? Because it reads older to mm-hmm. me.
Well, that's what I thought that was interesting, because, I mean, I remember watching it as a kid, of course, like, I thought right. this was for kids, and then watching it again as an adult, I'm like, oh, I don't, there's a lot of stuff here that, it's not bad for kids to see, but they say some bad words, you know, there's some, mm-hmm. there's some boobs, there's some, some yeah. nudity, I don't know. I'm not really sure. Like it premiered in theaters. So I don't know if it was intended as a kid's movie.
I mean, this was my first time watching it, and you get that feeling when you're watching a kid's movie or kid's TV show, like, ah, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily get that watching this, because I mean, I'm watching it for the first time as a 21-year-old adult, and I was like, oh, okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely, and I mean, I remember as a kid knowing that it was about something else, or feeling like that, like thinking there's a level to this I'm not getting, but also still not getting it. Like, I feel like there's something else happening and I don't know what it is.
I still feel that way when I watch it. Like, I think that yeah. there's, I don't know, I don't think it's trying to just have like a tidy little, you know. I mean, I'm not hating on animated movies that have tidy little messages, but, you know, usually you kind of can distill it down to a sentence, mm-hmm. you know, like Frozen's about finding your true self, you know, there's mm-hmm. other
yeah.
messages there, but like, it's very, what is The Last Unicorn really saying at the end? I think it's just more of like it's more of just a fairy tale. Like, this is just, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was going to say, Tay, do you want to give like a quick like summary rundown maybe yeah. for anyone who's unfamiliar?
Yes, the Last Unicorn, well, it tells the story of The Last Unicorn. So that is our main character, voiced by Mia Farrow. And she discovers that she's the last unicorn. So she tries to seek out what happened to all the other unicorns. That leads her on this sort of path to the Red Bull, who has driven all the unicorns into the sea, and along the way she meets sort of her traveling party. There's a not very good wizard, there's a Molly Gru, who's just, I don't know, like a cool middle-aged lady.
Yeah.
And they end up at this King Haggard, who's this angry old king, who's the reason that all the unicorns have been captured. He kind of possesses the Red Bull, and she challenges the Red Bull and sets all the other unicorns free. In the process, she's turned into a human briefly. And while she's a human, she falls in love with a prince and then has to sort of let him go, regains her form. I don't know. A lot happens.
Yeah, I told Cooper was there watching it, and I told Cooper she pointed at the unicorn, but in lady form, and I was like, she's so pretty. And I was like, and she's a unicorn. And Cooper was like, what? What? That, sorry? She could not process. She was like, that's not right. Like, yeah.
That yeah, is. Remember the unicorn from earlier in the film?
Yep.
That's definitely her.
I mean, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I would say when I was a kid, I mean, and it's still, honestly, like Lady Amalthea to me was the most beautiful woman that ever lived, that mm-hmm. ever existed. That was the pinnacle of beauty to me, was Lady Amalthea, that the transfigured unicorn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She really is. I will say, though, and this still reads the same to me, and I always remember thinking, like, I feel like that's something I'm not understanding. The unicorn horn, like the pattern around the base of it, and then the same pattern that's on her head when she's in human form, always looks so painful to me.
Mm.
There was something about it that made my head hurt. I don't know. Like, I would look at it and think, like, oh, this is painful. This is important. I don't know why. I don't understand.
It reminded me of the Infinity Stone that's in Vision's head.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's like, there, that's her Infinity Stone.
Yeah. Or Harry Potter's scar.
Yeah. Mm. What's up with things on foreheads?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, aesthetic. I don't know.
I mean, she had a horn.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
What was worse was the fake horn that yeah, that she gets.
Mommy Fortuna puts on her.
Yeah, that was always worse to me. That looked awful.
Mm-hmm.
That looked like, I don't know, the way that Wolverine's claws look when they...
when they, like, shroop out.
Yeah, and you, like, you feel like they're cutting... Are they cutting his skin every time he does that?
Yeah, because he has healing powers, so they...
Yeah. Okay, that was my assumption, is that his skin was getting cut every time. That's how that horn looks. It yeah, looks like it cut on its way out. Oh, always, I mean, I'm not saying it did. I just mean it looked painful.
Yeah.
I guess. Then she's momentarily not a unicorn, right? What, it's a two horns. Is that?
Binicorn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That just sounds gay, but all right.
That's a different podcast.
Would it just be bicorn? Because you knee is like one. It's like the U and I is all from the one. So if you take that out, make it bi, isn't it just bicorn?
It's a bicorn.
Like bisexual corn.
That's what that sounds like.
I don't know. Isn't the I don't want to reference other. I don't. I'm not stealing from other podcasts. Isn't Taz? Don't they call it a binocorn?
I'm just saying, like, but
this is me. But all the way, also revealing that I do not listen to my husband's podcast, which is not. Don't take it personally. I almost never listen to any podcast because I just don't. I don't have any sort of commute or time to listen to podcasts.
I now have an English degree, so I'm just saying, like, you know, according to the English language. Correct, the correct pronunciation and creation of the word would just be bicorn.
This could start a podcast war if this is true. I've read the graphic novel, so certainly I should remember. I don't remember.
I feel like
Geralt, if he's a binocorn.
Binocorn just sounds better. I think that's probably the reason.
Either way, we can agree it's a bisexual mythical creature.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's fine. I feel like this movie has absolutely no gay content, and yet it feels very gay, so that's probably
it
fine.
It does.
Can't explain why. Don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe part of the message there.
I would definitely add this to the collection of things that, like, this is ours. I don't know why this is ours, but this is ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I also think, like, absolutely, like, the first time I saw, like, Lady Amalthea in the human form, I'm like, oh, that's a beautiful lady. No. I don't want to look like Lady Amalthea. I love Lady Amalthea.
Yeah. I also hadn't noticed until you just were talking about it, Tay, but there is the Red Bull in this show.
Yes.
Like the drink, not the Red Bull.
I think this predates Red Bull.
I think you're right, yeah.
So did Red Bull, is this the origin story for Red Bull?
I don't think so, because I'm pretty sure, wasn't Red Bull, didn't it originate in the UK?
Oh, I don't know the story of Red Bull. I don't know.
I don't actually know either. Now that also sounds like something for another podcast.
But it gives you wings. So in my head, I was like, oh, maybe.
Well, I will say, though, I mean, if you think about, like, we all just accept Red Bull. But if you start to think about, like, this is a drink that is made to just, like, hype you up with what is like, I mean, it's a stimulant.
Yes.
And it's not, I mean, it doesn't give you energy in like a positive way necessarily, oh, no. Right? Like it's a stimulant. And it's, that is what its intent is like, just hype yourself up, feel kind of anxious and jittery, but don't fall asleep, is like the message of any sort of energy caffeine based drink. Mm-hmm. And they called it Red Bull. So its entire existence is sort of like, if you step back from it and look, go, that's a wild thing that we just have, yeah. that we just all accept and order with vodka periodically. Like, that's a wild thing.
Yeah.
It would make sense to me that it would be inspired by this movie, you know? Like, if you were watching this and it was back in the 80s and maybe you were using a substance, I don't know. We weren't, because none of us were born when this movie came out. But maybe you were. And then you were like, I'm going to make a drink and I'm going to call it Red Bull and it's going to give you energy. Wow. Doesn't that fit?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good workaround. It's not true. I just briefly looked up the history of Red Bull. That's not where the name comes from.
Where does it really come from?
The recipe originates in Thailand and the original name translates to Red Gar, which is a type of Indian bull or Indian bison. So it was just a translated, you know, version of the original name.
But interesting.
I think Red Bull itself started in Austria.
Well, I had no idea.
So no ties to the animated film, unfortunately.
Well, that makes more sense what you're saying.
It's fun.
It's not as fun. but that makes more sense.
Well, sorry to disappoint. I mean, it would be I think if you were going to make a drink inspired by The Last Unicorn, it would be obvious to use some Red Bull.
What if you made a drink that was really soothing and relaxing and called it The Last Unicorn and sold it alongside Red Bull?
Like something that's like supposed to calm you down? Is it like
something with chamomile or lavender,
and then
or something?
You chase it with Red Bull?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
No, that's not how that works at all.
Like how the Red Bull drove out the unicorns. So like you chase the unicorn with the
Please.
Red Bull.
No, this is what it is. This is going to be a new brand of vodka.
Red Bull vodka.
Wait, but
have you ever heard of that drink?
Well, yeah, I thought you meant like a brand.
No, Last Unicorn Vodka.
Okay.
That is really funny, though, because you said as a chaser, like make a cocktail called The Last Unicorn and then have it served with a back of Red Bull. It's like, oh, it's a
Red
Bull chaser.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's really funny.
In certain circles, that drink would go over so well.
You know, we talk about movies a lot that like, was this a big thing in general or was this just a big thing to me? And I feel like Last Unicorn is one of those movies that I don't know a lot of people that saw it and loved it as much as, I don't know. Sid, did you even have the same fixation on it that I did or was that just me?
I did. So not to the degree that you did. I did really like it. Was one of those that had a huge impact on me. But it also, because of what I was referencing, like I felt that it was trying to tell me something that I couldn't understand. I also had this sort of, I don't want to say negative because it wasn't that I didn't enjoy it. It made me kind of sad.
It is, yeah.
And a little scared in a way that I couldn't quite put my finger on as a child, because I was like, it's telling me something about innocence or like death or there's something in here that I don't get. And so I had this sort of like, I didn't rewatch it as much as you did because it made me sad in a way I didn't understand yet.
Hmm. Well, I've met, it's only in like other, like specific, like other weird art kids that are like, oh yeah, I was obsessed with The Last Unicorn. Like it's not, I don't think it had the broad impact that I assumed it had when I was younger. I thought everybody must have seen this movie, but I have met people and it's like the people that love The Last Unicorn really loved it.
Well, I think that for a lot of the reasons that we've talked about, I do think it connected. If you were a certain type of, especially if you were, I don't know, if you were a kind of kid like we were, where like we were looking for those sort of like deeper adult kind of, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to understand these things, and I don't. We were both big readers, you know, yeah. Searching for those
things.
That's
as
why
kids.
Uncle Michael showed me a lot of Family Guy.
Yeah, you were looking for those big thoughts.
Yeah, I was looking for the adult messages.
I feel like we were both like that, though, like looking for those big things. And I'm not saying you weren't, Riley, but you weren't around for this movie.
Yeah.
And like this movie really satisfied that, like, I'm hitting on something larger here. And I'm getting clues. I'm getting clues to something. And this takes me a step closer.
It's kind of a bummer, like the things that do make sense now that I knew made me sad as a kid, but I didn't know why. And now I'm like, oh, I get it now. Like, I rewatched the movie the other night, like after a very long, very bad shift at the restaurant I'm working at. And like the Man's Road song that comes on, just sitting alone in my apartment crying to that song. It's like, yeah. It's hard out here. You don't know what's coming for you, sweet little unicorn. You don't know the truth you're going to have to learn.
The songs are really, like, a lot of them are quite sad. If you watch the... I had, just because we always do in this house, I always have subtitles on everything we watch. Me because too. There's usually kids yelling and screaming and other pads going and Roblox being played and random noises. So I always have subtitles on. And so, like, all the lyrics to the songs were going across the screen at the same time. And it was like, whoa.
It's deep.
Whoa, man.
Well, and, like, the broader sense, I mean, we kind of talked about that the message is hard to decipher, but, I mean, there is the whole concept of, like, can immortal beings truly experience, like feelings to the same degree that mortals do? Because part of feelings, I think, come from, like, the fact that life is fleeting, that things are temporary. I think that it implies that that's part of our humanity comes from the fact that we will die one day, that part of our ability to love and care and regret and feel things comes from the fact that we are momentary creatures, and that a unicorn's immortal, and so it can't experience those feelings. So this unicorn is forever changed because she experiences regret, which is something that is not offered up to immortals. That's a big thing for, like, little kids to wrap their heads around.
It's huge and would be tackled many years later in The Good Place. That exact idea. The thing you need to understand about humans is that they're a little bit sad all the time.
Are you suggesting that The Good Place was a continuation of the messages brought on by The Last Unicorn?
At least existed in the same universe.
Well, before we address that...
Let's check the group message.
I need to tell you all a little bit more about the Max Fun Drive. As I already mentioned, it is that time of year, the Max Fun Drive. Once a year, the Maximum Fun Network, all of our family of podcasts, we come together, we reach out to you, our listening audience, and we say, hey, can you help us out? We are a listener-supported network. We make content and hand it out for free, and we do have ads occasionally, but largely we are supported by you, our listeners. You give us a little bit of your hard-earned money, or a lot of it, whatever you can manage. And we keep creating shows for you, hopefully new shows, better shows. We can improve our audio equipment. We can devote more time to developing creative new content, researching for some of the shows that require research, purchasing. I can tell you for another show I do, not plugging on this show, that it can be expensive to purchase, like, articles for research projects and new original primary texts and things like that. And all of that is stuff that your dollars help us do. In addition, Taylor, Riley, I know both of your lives have been improved by our listeners and their support.
Yeah, I would not be able to go to law school and go to law school where I am going to law school in DC in the fall and do so, you know, in a way that is not stressful and trying to figure out how to get a job while I'm there, also doing law school and all that kind of stuff, taking out more loans than I already am for tuition. I'm able to do all that because of this show, and I would not be doing that if not for this show and all of our supporters.
Yeah, and I mentioned I work in a restaurant. I have worked in restaurants for 50 to 60 hours my entire adult life, and for the past few years, I haven't had to work quite so much because of y'all out there, which has been really nice, especially through the pandemic where restaurant work was pretty hard to find. This podcast was the only thing keeping the lights on, so I am definitely deeply, deeply appreciative to all of you who support us.
Yeah.
And this is the time to support us, because during the Max Fun Drive, if you either join for the first time, start a monthly support for the first time, or you upgrade your membership. That's the other way that you can get a gift, is if you're already a member at the $5 level, but you feel like it's been a year where you can afford to bump up to the $10 level, or if you're at 10 and you can go up to 20, whatever. If you can upgrade your membership, then you also get gifts. So either way counts, at MaximumFun.org/join. But what are some of the gifts, Riley, that people can get?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Sydney. Like we talked about earlier, if you join at $5 a month, you get all of the bonus content immediately. As soon as you sign up for that membership, you immediately get access to, like Sid said, over 300 hours of bonus content from every single year of the drive, from every single show on the network, which is great fun to have to listen to and add to your podcast catalog. For $10 a month, you get one of the 35 embroidered patches, as well as a Letterpress Max Fun membership card and the bonus content. So that's important that you remember, at every level, you get all of the gifts associated with every level below it as well. So you'd get a super cool patch along with all the bonus content. You get to pick one for your favorite show or your favorite patch, whatever you want to use to make that decision. And then moving up from there, there are other levels like the $20 a month level, where you get the Max Fun Creativity Pack or a Rocket Hat, as well as one of those patches and the membership card and the bonus content. The Creativity Pack will help you get in a creative headspace and live life to the fullest. There are 54 cards in the deck, and each card has an activity suggestion from someone on the network. And the hat, super cool Rocket Hat. And maybe you could even put, you know, one of your patches on that hat. So you get a patch and a hat. You can put them together. Above that, there's $35 a month. You get a messenger bag. There's levels even beyond that. But, you know, all those ones I just mentioned, you get all that sweet, sweet bonus content. Cool patch, cool hat, or activity deck. All that cool stuff for joining right now.
So whatever level you can join at or upgrade to, we truly appreciate it. As Taylor and Riley have already said, and as I have mentioned, there are real tangible ways that our lives are improved, and therefore the content we can create for you is improved with your support. And we thank you so much for doing that. MaximumFun.org/join. This is the time. This is the moment.
This Please. Is the time. This is a moment. That sounded like a really inspirational song that you were writing right there.
It did. I'm going to keep working on that.
This is when you join the family and you get a gift. Max Fun Drive. This is a time. This is a moment.
I think that's really good. I'm just going to let you keep going.
I just want to see where this goes.
That's all I got.
I feel like we need that eagle from Last Unicorn to soar over the top while you're singing this.
It sounds like a Red Bull commercial, too.
Yeah, exactly. Griffin had that song about Max Fun Drive from forever ago. This is the new moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stepping up. This is the Max Fun theme song now.
anyway.
I'll keep working on that. Get to it next year.
I do think it's really interesting, Tay, what you just brought up, because maybe that was the thing that when I was thinking back on this movie before I rewatched it this time, and I was thinking like, oh, I remember The Last Unicorn, that here was my thought on it. It was a cartoon and it was about a unicorn, but there was also a scary bull. And I think it may have been about God and the devil. I mean, like, really, recollection of it, this is how it had sort of, like, solidified in my head, is, like, I think it was some sort of religious allegory about the fight between good and evil, and the unicorn maybe was Jesus, I don't know, but, like, and then I rewatched it, and I was like, well, that probably wasn't exactly what it was. That was wrong, but that was how my kid brain processed, like, good, bad. Yeah. Oh, it must have been God and the devil. But I do think what you said is closer to what they're trying to talk about.
Well, yeah, I don't, you know, and I think I've seen interpretations of a religious context here, but I watched it looking for that. And I do not think that's not what I get from it at all. I do think it's about, I don't know. I mean, it is about immortality and about, I don't know. I mean, what is the choice that she makes in the end? She chooses to, like, protect the magic in the world and go back to being an immortal, knowing that she'll regret missing out on the experience of, like, temporal love. Like, I don't know. That's not religious to me. That's something else.
No. That's a deep decision. That's a deep moment.
It was. Was it written by a vampire?
I don't think it's about. I don't think it's about vampires. I don't think that's what
it sounds a little like vampires. Twilight. It sounds a little like Twilight.
Come on, no.
Was this the inspiration for Twilight?
No,
I'm joking. No, but that is a really complex idea. And I don't know. I guess you could. I guess if you wanted to, you could tie that to like some sort of Christian allegory where like. I mean, seriously, like, I know everybody's going to laugh, but, like, you can see a Jesus-like figure in an immortal who becomes mortal briefly and then makes a sacrifice to return to immortality, but will always feel more connected to mortality because mm-hmm. of that. I don't know. Like, I could see where maybe my brain, and especially as a kid, like, we used to go to church, so I would have processed it that way. I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't process things that way as a kid. I didn't even know VeggieTales was a religious thing.
Well, okay, so, that's a little bit more on the nose.
They were stories from the Bible.
I didn't know them. I thought they were VeggieTales stories.
But they were
Childhood experiences with the same parents.
Some of them are just good lessons. Like, they're not necessarily... They're just like morality tales, but some of them are like...
VeggieTales was my Bible.
Like Rack Shack and Benny?
My Bible.
And Nebuchadnezzar?
Nope.
You know what?
Esther?
I think if we like threw out all the stuff that people do with the Bible and just replaced it with the lessons you learn from VeggieTales, I'd be okay with that religion. Like if you want to believe in what VeggieTales is putting forth, I think that's fine.
I believe in Bob and Larry.
I am not... I am very much not a religious person, but I'm not offended by VeggieTales-based religions.
You were a huge fan of Madame Blueberry, which, to be fair, the title Madame Blueberry is like Madame Bovary, but it has nothing to do with Madame Bovary. But
I just liked her style. Anyways, but I could see how you could get that from this movie. I don't think that's necessarily what I got watching it. In my head, when I read the title, The Last Unicorn, and I wasn't really thinking that it was from 1982, but I was like, climate change. We've lost all the unicorns. This is the last one. And then I was like, no, this is from 1982. I mean, Ferngully, I guess, also kind of had that message. Well, but
there was...
There was such a strong, like... I mean, I feel like the conservationist narrative at the time, and especially, I mean, this was made... in the 80s, but in the 90s, that was an element that was part of media.
Mm-hmm. It would have fit in because even though we weren't talking about climate change back then the way we do now, mm-hmm. the idea of humans destroying the planet and we need to make changes to avoid this sort of catastrophic direction we're headed in, that's rooted before then.
Right.
So like there were things like that. Like I was aware... That was what I mean. If you had asked me when I was like Charlie's age, what do you want to do when you grow up? Save the rainforest would have been on my list. I mean, seriously, like those sort of messages were really pushed from probably the 60s mm-hmm. on when it was recognized, like with pesticides and pollution. And I mean, all of that, cutting the rings on your soda cans.
Still do that.
That campaign was so effective.
We still do it.
Obviously.
But there definitely was that message that, like, we are doing devastating harm to the planet that cannot be undone would have been known when this movie was made. I don't know that's what they were saying. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, I think that, you know, that because, you know, one of the characters we didn't really talk about is the king, who is the reason that he's driven all these unicorns into the sea. He is very much like, if we want to talk about, like, the evil archetype of, like, man's, you know, folly. Like, he has captured all of these immortal beings so he can watch them trying to free themselves from the water every day and being driven back, and that this is the only thing that brings him joy. And you know, like, man's attempt to conquer immortality this way, which you have throughout the movie, right? Because Mommy Fortuna is the other sort of villainous character, and she's captured this harpy, and her whole, like, thing is like, yeah, this harpy might murder me, but I'll live on forever as the thing that captured it. It's these kind of desperate humans grasping at immortality through some way, instead of just accepting, like, I do think that there's a bit of that conservationist method of the Earth is ideally is meant to be immortal. It's meant to live beyond us. We have our time here and then we leave it, but we are meant to preserve the immortal things that need to continue on. And not try to grasp at them and conquer them, because you can't conquer death. We're mortal things.
And I mean, I think visually, like, the attempts to do so in the movie are ugly and destructive, you know, like, just visually, you don't want to be part of those forces.
Right.
Mama Fortuna is depicted as this kind of, you know, twisted, angry figure. And I mean, I think you see that, like, visually, they're destructive to yourself. Like, yeah. These, not just to the Earth and the people around you, an attempt to harness more immortality destroys you too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, now that we're talking about it, I really do think, like, mortality is the central issue. Because even, like, Molly Grew, her speech, I'm going to get choked up just thinking about it when she sees the unicorn. And mm-hmm. she says, why would you come to me now? Like, because she's older and, you know, like, not when I was a young maiden, not when I, you know, I waited my entire life to see you and now you're here and I'm mm-hmm. old. Like, that, you know, that is a heavy message of, like, you know, this sort of older woman who feels like she's lost her beauty and that now she has her purpose to, like, take care of the universe. And then when she just is like, okay, I'm ready to go. Like, accepts that this is her path. I'm going to help this unicorn. I don't know. That's, like...
What do you think she is? Why would you come to me now? Do you think what we're talking about is an understanding? A knowledge? Is that... I mean, I know literally it's the unicorn, but, like...
I was going to say it's a unicorn.
Metaphorically.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's like the unicorns are meant to come to beautiful young maidens. That's what she was taught, that's when she's of worth. But, mm-hmm. like, now is when the unicorn needs her. Now is when she's needed. Now is when mm-hmm. she's on her path. And, you know, I don't know. She accepts it. Like, mm-hmm. this is my role to play in protecting this thing. I mean, which is sort of the same with Schmendrick, too, right? Like, yeah. He's just sort of a, like, middling, not happy, unsuccessful wizard. And then as soon as he sees the unicorn, he's like, oh, I have to free you and I have to help you, you know? Like, yeah. She mm-hmm. gives purpose to these people that were otherwise sort of lost. And they accept their roles and just sort of, like, even the prince, really. He says, you know, like, he's part of, like, being like, no, I love her no matter what she is. And I will serve her and I will help her become a unicorn again.
So the unicorn's kind of a destiny, fate, could be a religious, whatever sort of grander purpose. Well, it's like a purpose.
Yeah. I mean, everybody that serves as, like, a caretaker of her is on the right path, which, once again, yeah. you can take it as religious, but I think it also does have a conservationist sort of method or message there. Like, we're temporary things, and when you live as a caretaker of the Earth that you're allowed to be on, that's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not be resentful of the things that outlive you.
It is really interesting to think about those sort of themes. I can't imagine that when some of the different programs and stuff we've talked about, like, specifically, I kept thinking about what you were saying with The Good Place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's hard to imagine that these themes didn't inspire people in some way, that, like, those ideas weren't deep in their brains when they started making the things, not directly. Like, I don't mean, like, this is a you know what I mean? I'm not yeah. saying, like, plagiarizing. I mean, like, that idea, that concept, that theme. Because yep. I really do, which I know you haven't seen the whole show, Tay, but, like, what you're talking about is very much in play in the show The Good Place, mm-hmm. which was what I found the most moving and heartbreaking and beautiful part of it, was this idea that, like, as an immortal, it's hard to understand what it's like to be mortal because, as they put it, we all walk around a little sad all the time because we know this will end.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, I didn't mean for it to get that.
You're tearing up.
I am.
No, that's what we were talking about at the very beginning of this episode. You said, who is this movie for? Obviously, going through all this, talking about all this, not necessarily for kids. The real meaning, obviously, is for us.
Well, but, like, my kids were watching it while I was, and they were enjoying it because, I mean, honestly, the parts they liked the best were just looking at, like, look at that beautiful princess. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the music scenes where it's like, here's a unicorn walking through this gorgeous forest with, and there's like a butterfly sometimes and there's flowers and like it's there's a song playing and they were just both like, what is mommy watching?
Yeah, I was glad that I picked something that your kids could watch without, I don't know, a few of the things that I've picked, it's like, oh no, not for kids, don't let your kids watch Perfect Blue.
Yeah, figured that out.
But this one, yeah, that, I mean, the deeper stuff, I don't know. I mean, I looked it up. It was marketed as a children's movie, but I don't think that the core message, it's not inappropriate for kids. I just think it can be enjoyed from, I mean, not just adults. I think specifically anyone that is old enough to grapple with thoughts of mortality. This movie is trying to sort of comfort you, like, you know, there's something special about being mortal. And that is the temptation, if you will, of the last unicorn is that, you know, the temporary joy she'll get from mortality.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting to think that when we watched it, I mean, at least I had this experience and I think you would say the same. It was nipping at my brain that something else was there, mm-hmm. and I couldn't process it then, which I think is a really cool thing for a movie to do for a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something here that I can't touch yet.
Yeah.
But when I'm older, I'll be able to touch it.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that it made me sad in a way I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, that...
Because I wasn't contemplating mortality directly.
Right. Well, and I think specifically that regret is touched on at the end. I mean, I don't know. The concept of regret is not a thing that kids' movies talk about. I don't... like. Regret is part of life, and that's what sets this unicorn apart. But is that what mortality is? Does it come up to regret? Because is that where so many emotions come from? That we know we only get so much time and we only get so many chances, and that some chances will pass us by, some roads won't be taken. We can't do it all because we only have so much time.
Wow.
Anna, I'm trying to think of something on a positive note.
I don't think that's negative. I just think it's big.
No, it is big. It is big. It is a beautiful movie. Taylor, thank you for bringing it.
I guess, sorry.
No, I mean, it's a beautiful movie. And my children enjoyed it without any sadness. Like, they did not feel this. They liked the movie. So I don't think it's like bad for kids to watch. It's just, I mean, it does all these things, and that's the mark, I think, of a good movie or a good piece of media. Yeah. Something that can do multiple things at once, make you feel different things, and generate this much conversation.
Yeah,
it's a good thing. So thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry for making you watch a bummer unicorn movie.
No, you don't need to apologize. I would recommend. Where did I find it?
I watched it on Amazon Prime free, but there were ads.
Oh. Yes, that is that. Now that you say that, because I just searched it, but that is where I found it too. Because I also had to watch the ads.
Yeah, that's good. It gives you breaks to like stare into the void, I guess.
Exactly.
To process.
It's not really sad. I don't know. I feel like it's, you know, it's just.
It's a big... It's not as sad as this conversation made it sound.
Sorry.
No.
Don't watch The Last Unicorn. Don't question its meaning. I guess that's what happens when you do.
Riley, what's next?
Okay. So I wanted to talk about a movie called One Day that came out in 2011. It's an Anne Hathaway movie. I think it's another one of those. I'm not sure it was necessarily popular among everyone at the time, but for some reason, my friends and I discovered it when we were early in high school and watched it an unreasonable amount of times. So.
Well, that sounds perfect.
Yes.
All right. We will watch that next time. One last time before we go, I just want to remind you that it is the Maximum Fun Drive. It's not too late to join. MaximumFun.org/join. If you can, kick in a monthly support to our network. We would so appreciate it. If you are already doing so and you're in a position where you can upgrade your membership, this is the moment. We have levels at $5, at $10, at $20, $35, and higher. Whatever you can do, we appreciate it. You can boost too if you just want to. You're not in a position where you can go up to the next level, but you want to throw in a few extra dollars. There's that option as well. And anything you can give, it really helps us out, as we've already said. At the $5 a month level, you get all that bonus content from all the shows, from all the years, tons of fun, extra stuff that not everybody gets access to. $5 a month gets you that. $10 a month, you get to pick your patch. They're all so adorable. $20 a month, we've talked about it. There are so many levels. Whatever you can do, now is the time. Please join MaximumFun.org/join. It's not too late yet. And thank you all. Thank you, listeners. You can tweet at us at StillBuff. You can email us at StillBufferingMaximumFun.org. And thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby Change Mine.
This has been your cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I'm Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am Still Buffering.
And
I am too.
This is a moment.
I was hoping.
I just wrote it and I don't remember it. This is a time.
This is the moment.
Maximum Fun Drive.
Come be a member.
There you go.
Today.
Woo.
Tay?
Life is a temporary experience.
Oh, no.
Thank you so much to everyone who participated in this year's Max Fun Drive. If you're a member who wants to purchase additional patches, our annual shop is now live. The proceeds for this year's sale will be going to Trans Lifeline. Anytime is a good time to donate to Trans Lifeline, but this year it feels particularly important. Trans Lifeline is a nonprofit for the trans community by the trans community. We're grateful that with your support, we'll be able to help Trans Lifeline connect trans folks to the support and resources they need to survive and thrive. The sale will run until Friday, May 20th. Folks at the $10 monthly level and above will have access to all of the patches from the drive. We also have a special network patch starring Nutsy that all members can purchase. For more information on Trans Lifeline, visit translifeline.org. And for more information on the patches, head to MaximumFun.org/patch sale.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.